Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You guys have been the poster boy for why you can't tear something down. That debate's been going on in this city for the last, well, couple of years now, and the point is always towards the Buffalo Sabres. You want to tear something down to the studs? Be careful, because you could end up being the Buffalo Sabres, and for 20 years, you're the worst team in hockey or thereabouts. So that's part of the ongoing argument, and we're seeing it firsthand tonight. This team's give-a-crap meter is almost shut off. They've got some talent. They've got some good pieces. So even though you go out and win a draft pick, like a Tage Thompson is a great player, but without the team effort and the culture that's getting built, it means nothing.
Yeah, Dahlin and Thompson both scoring here, and we'll see what happens in the third period, because we still have a third to go and they're down two.
That's from the Calgary broadcast.
Another quick question for those gentlemen who are not probably awake right now. One, they think the Sabres have some talent. Okay, I think there are maybe a few, like, on one hand, you can count the teams that have more than them. That have less than them.
Yeah.
Okay, the other thing, tearing it down to the studs. In 14 years, how many times have the Sabres really done that?
Once.
I would say twice.
Twice?
When they traded Vanek and Miller and Pominville and all of those guys got traded away, and then they did it again when they traded Eichel and Reinhardt and Ristolainen.
Fair.
Two times in 14 years that they've done that. That's a lot?
Well, two times in 14 years, and one of those times...
I would say that's not a lot
one
for
of those
14
times,
years.
They chose to do it. The other time, they had to do it. Because
the
they
first
were,
time?
No, this well...
Oh, I'm sorry, the Eichel time.
I was going to say, the Eichel-Reinhardt time, they had to do it because they were so bad that the players said, you must tear this down to the studs.
Right.
Like, trade us all away.
Right.
I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, when they traded him away, that didn't have to happen. They just decided to do that.
Right.
After a last place finish. And they kept Phil Housley on as their head coach.
And that wasn't down to the studs yet anyway. That was like one, that was one off-season move. Like, the idea the Sabres just keep... You know, rebuilding, like, and tearing it down and building it up and tearing it down. Like, they don't really tear it down that often. I bet I could find, same thing, like, compare yourself to the league. I bet I can find teams that have torn it down more often than the Sabres have in 15 years.
Yeah. And meanwhile, like, it's funny, like, thinking about Calgary for this point. This is the Calgary broadcast saying, careful, you don't want to be the Buffalo Sabres.
Because what's their debate probably right now? They keep barely either making it or just missing, and now they're near the bottom, and it's, do we rebuild or we try to finish eighth again?
Right. The Sabres have had the same GM as long as how many teams in the NHL have had a GM longer than the Sabres right now?
Oh, it's like
and
most.
They keep trying to just get 10 more points in the standings. Like, the Sabres probably should have done another rebuild a year ago or 2 years ago, and instead, it's just constantly trying to, no, this will be the thing that gets us 7 more points. Competitive games in March was actually a thing that was said, right? Jason Botterill is trying to get competitive games in March.
Yeah. So he's the 10th longest tenured GM in the league, Adams is.
Without a sniff of the playoffs.
Right.
10th longest tenured GM. And he's not torn it down other than when he had to at the beginning when he trades Reinhardt, Eichel.
Yep.
Like, and those were not exactly teardown trades. They wanted players, right? They got Tuch and Krebs who were going to play right away and then some picks as well. But, whatever. The Sabres lose to Calgary 7-4. It's memories for me of, was it last year, Marcus Foligno with the Wild, they lost like 3 in a row. And he's like, it's not like it's a Sabres losing streak.
Yes.
And he's like, there was a big-time shots fired moment. Calgary has 28 points in 31 games. Like, they are near the bottom of the league saying, careful, you don't want to be the Sabres.
Right. What? Well, because again, like, they're debating, should we be trading our good players?
Right.
Should we be trading Nazem Kadri away for whatever we could get?
Of course they should. He's how old? Like, they should definitely trade some old players.
Maybe he's an easier one. But they've got other guys, I'm sure, that are – like Rasmus Anderson is one.
Yep.
Like, should we trade our 29-year-old really good defenseman?
Well, the Sabres are in last in the East by a clear 4 points. They have the worst goal differential in the East. And, of course, like, the GM has – made changes and tried to get things right, and they just never do. It is, of course, not unusual to hear an opposing team broadcast say, this team we're watching here, their give-a-crap meter is shut off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why is that? Darlene's comments after the game, like, he was very forceful about, like, how bad they were. I don't know. What are you supposed to do?
Pray that Darlene and Thompson don't want to leave.
I said this a couple weeks ago. Like, we're going to talk to Lenny Ruff at 9 o'clock. I'm not exactly going to tell him, like, you should be fired. Just a team in the NHL that thinks it has talent, that has what's happening happen, has fired their coach by now. If you think you're talented and you're sitting in last in the East, you fire a coach. The Sabres do not do in-season firings of coaches unless you've lost 12 in a row. Or our Ralston was 4-20, or maybe 4 wins in 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
But Lindy was fired in season, 20 years ago.
Yep.
They don't make moves in season to try and save seasons, which maybe somewhere along these 17 years, how many years is it actually?
14,
okay. Sorry, I'm like
soon to be 15.
I'm like Bill Strouding here. Somewhere in those 14 years, doing something in the middle of the year might have turned something around. But they frequently don't do that. They do not. I guess the first couple of years, Lindy would have been one of these drought years, and they tried to change it, and they immediately fire Ralston. And since then, the only guy to get fired midseason is Ralph Kruger, who had lost 12 in a row. Last year's team lost 13 in a row.
Yeah, right.
What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to say? They win a couple games. And it's like, oh, look at that. They see, they win when they can win when they play a certain way. Like, yeah, I mean, right. The worst team of all time won 8 games in the NHL. The Washington Capitals expansion team, they won 8 times.
Yep.
Is anybody confused about that? This team's confusing. Look at that. They won a game. Maybe there is something going on there. Anyway, what are you going to do? 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 if you want to chime in. You can. We'll chat about, I mean, do you want to throw something at the Sabres? Go for it. Like a comment. They don't actually throw anything at the Sabres. They're out west, which means late games and late losses this time to Calgary. They'll play Vancouver and Seattle and Edmonton before still coming back.
I just feel like there's nothing left to say or do other than
fire the GM.
The
GM's got to be fired.
I kind of feel like the fan base is stuck in, we're just waiting for that to happen. And until that happens, like, all right, here the games come and go.
Yeah. I mean, like,
that's the current state of the team. Everyone's just waiting for the GM to get fired. And we don't know if we're going to be waiting a month, a week, or a year, or 3 years.
Yeah, right? I mean, credit anyone that can still kind of rant about it. Like, oh, and you had a good one after the Flyer game?
Yes.
Like, hey, credit to anybody that can still have a rant about it until they probably fire their GM. What? I mean, and then will it just be Jarmo Kekalainen? Will there be anybody hired? I've told you before
that it feels like they already made their GM hire
Kekalainen
by hiring him.
All right, well,
who would be their first GM brought in with previous experience in like 45 years?
And will it be really different? Do you think people will? People think
I will hope I will. I'm not sure it'll be different. I will definitely talk myself into it. It'll be different.
Yeah. Right,
I know I will talk myself into it. It'll be different because he's done the job before and he's been aggressive with trades and with hirings and he's fired people in season. We brought up the Tortorella example. He fired a coach 8 games into a year.
Who's he going to hire as his coach?
Tortorella.
That's possible.
He's hired him before. I don't know. Like anything that is different. Anything that is. Oh, this person was qualified to work as the general manager? Okay, yeah, let me see what that looks like. Because I haven't really had that in a long time. Long time.
Yeah. You need someone that's willing to trade what? Who? If this is going to be another rebuild, who is it?
Tuck. Tuck's the first
Tuck's
name.
Tuck's, of course, right, at the deadline. Don't re-sign
him.
That's
going to happen.
Yep.
But what are you going to get for Tuck? Like a first-round pick? So
yeah.
A player that you'll see on the team in 2028?
Right.
2029? Because it'll be the 23rd pick in this draft. And will they have that player develop and come up and look good and then send him down for a 3-goalie rotation?
Because
that's what happened with Noah Osland. Like,
yeah.
Is that the plan for that?
I can't believe that happened. I can't even get started on that.
Well, they did the easy thing.
They did the easy thing because that's what they do. And that's why everybody is there still. And that's why they still have 3 goalies. And that's why they aren't any good still. And it's that easy.
Right.
Because the players do the easy thing. Management does the easy thing. Everybody does the easy thing. And you don't win doing the easy thing. It's that simple.
803-0550.
He should definitely be in over Greenway, but they paid Greenway $4 million per year. So what are you going to do there?
Greenway was on the team. Was not good last night.
You could waive Peyton Krebs, but are they still having him on the team because they want the Eichel trade to look as good as possible? Like, I don't know. Like that, you could have done that.
I saw Eichel scored a late overtime goal the other night.
Did he?
Yeah, which was the second latest overtime goal. Hold on. You know what? Who cares? Not even going to bother.
I thought you were going to say I saw Eichel in a commercial with John Hamm because he's in that now.
Okay.
He was the only player that got a line in the commercial for the U.S. hockey team, which is funny because they might actually not go still. But they've got they're running commercials with all the NHL players.
Hockey, look at hockey.
Italy apparently can't build a hockey arena.
What a sport! The NFL is going to successfully got flag football at the Olympics. Meanwhile,
right.
The NHL's all right. Fine, we'll go back to the Olympics. And they're like, yeah, about that. The rink we accidentally built it the wrong size.
Right.
All right.
We trusted the Italians were going to be able to do this, and they're not.
They
so I guess we're not going.
They said they didn't care. They said they didn't care. Anyway, all right. 803-0550 if you want it. By the way, the Chargers win last night knocks the Bills to the 6th seed in the AFC. So if the playoffs started today, the Bills would be heading to Jacksonville.
A place where they have not won in a while, right?
This is a fun question. Does Jacksonville own the stupidest collection of wins against the Bills?
Ooh.
What NFL franchise for stupid win per game against the Bills has lead? Let me make the case for Jacksonville. I've got the playoff game, which was 10-3.
10-3.
Where a backup tight end caught a 4th down pass to beat them ultimately.
Yeah. Remember the name? While you think of it, I'll remind everyone.
It's like Kizik or Kozak. Ben Kozak? Koyak. Well, Koyak.
Yeah, because Kozak's on the Sabres.
Ben Koyak.
That sounds right.
I think it might be Ben Koyak.
Okay.
Boy, if I pulled that out, then all right.
I think you've got it. That game, by the way, ended on a Nathan Peterman interception,
right,
which was fitting.
They've got that one. They've got the London game, of course, which is just dumb. They got a loss to
It was Ben Koyak. You're right.
Ben Koyak. They have lost to Urban Meyer.
9-3?
I thought it was
9-6. 9-6. Yeah.
They have the playoff.
Did you say the London game?
I said the London game. We got the
both London games.
The playoff loss to like Brunel, right?
Yeah.
Kelly's last game.
Yep.
Like of all the dumb wins a team has over you per time you've played, Jacksonville might have it. The Titans are in there too.
It's a good case. No, I think Jacksonville's got a good case here. Because they're also never good. Right?
Yeah.
They're never good.
Have they tweeted that this is the biggest game in franchise history for them this week? Who do they play? They play somebody.
Biggest game
in franchise history.
Well, congratulations to them. They should definitely hang a banner, shouldn't they? They won their biggest game in franchise. Put up, we beat the Colts in week 14 in 2025. That should definitely go up on their stadium. They play the Jets this week.
Okay. They should be just fine then. They should be good. So Jacksonville, can they hold off Houston for that division? Quite possibly. And if the Bills were to go to Jacksonville, I feel like we'd probably feel pretty good about it, right?
I have seen, though, that Trevor Lawrence has been playing unreal the last couple of weeks. Like, he's hitting every pass that is there for him. He has not played maybe the best defenses, and we'll see if that gets tested a little bit more. Like, what would the Bills do to Jacksonville defensively? Would you expect the Bills' defense to show up in that level of game? Because I look at the standings, I see, like, all right, Houston, I'd expect the Bills' defense to perform well. Denver, same thing. New England, I would be pretty scared of that.
Nervous, yeah.
Jacksonville is kind of somewhere in the middle, where I'm not really sure.
Well, Trevor Lawrence does have a playoff win, right? He had a comeback win against the Chargers.
Right.
They were down 28-0 or 27-0. They win.
Yeah.
Against L.A.
Then they lost to Kansas City the next week when Mahomes was injured.
Yep.
Yep.
If it's Bills, Jags, would you take it because the Bills are still alive for the division. You might think it's not a great shot, but they're still alive.
But it's one of those middle, just slightly above average offenses that I feel like, depends on maybe what you have on your defensive line. Is that Oliver and Joey Bosa healthy? Because if the answer is yes, I'm going to want my defense to stop them.
No.
That's not Mahomes. That's not the Chiefs. That's not Lamar and Derrick Henry setting records during the regular season as an offense. Like, that's Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. Like, all right, you got enough. Go stop them in the postseason, even if they're at home. Like, that would be a game where, for me, like, that's McDermott's and the defense got to show up for that game and not let the narrative grow beyond, well, you can't stop Kansas City too. Well, you just can't perform in the playoffs because, look, your season ended in Jacksonville again.
Yeah. Just looking at some of Ben Baldwin's stuff on offense and defense and team tiers, the Jags definitely have a better defense than the Bills, but their offense is not nearly as good.
Yeah. So,
and how do they do, like, drop back EPA? Their pass defense is, like, their defense is just flat out balanced and good. Jacksonville's defense, according to like EPA per play by Ben Baldwin, is right in a group of teams. Actually, this might scare you a little bit. Ready for the group of teams?
Yep.
There's four teams in a cluster. It is Denver, Philadelphia, New England, and Jacksonville in terms of how good they are against the run and the pass.
Yeah.
They are as good against the pass as the Bills, and they are much better against the run. So take that for what it's worth. Let me start scouting Jacksonville. Larry in South Florida. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I want to start with a positive and then the Sabres. I actually think Buffalo is going to handle business Sunday. If you look back to that first game, we lost by 3 points, and with all the mistakes we had, and we had a Swiss cheese defense on that last drive to let them come back and kick the field goal. I think Allen's got something to prove. I think the team's got something to prove, and if we can stay away from the mistakes, we beat New England. It's that simple. But the Sabres, okay. We lost twice to Calgary, but we didn't just lose to Calgary. We got embarrassed by Calgary. So much so that their announcer said, what a garbage team this is. They have no heart. And we have three goalies, and we all know, everyone knows, and we're not hockey experts. You don't do that in the NHL. And you're playing UPL, I'm sorry, he's not good. He's proven. He's not good. He had one good season. We give him a great contract, and then bam, look what happens. So you send down Noah Osland, who showed a lot of progress, a lot of grit, a lot of speed. So Kevin, and I was telling this to Joe Kelly, Terry Pegula must be okay with not making the playoffs. Gentlemen, think about the amount of revenue that would be created from Western New York alone if this team just made the playoffs one time. We're going on year 15 in the NHL, which is absolutely disgusting and embarrassing. What is it going to take to get rid of this GM? And I really think that Allen's going to put on the Superman cape again and get the job done. I'd love your thoughts.
Thanks, Larry. What it'll take? I mean, I'm positive. I shouldn't say this. They'll fire the GM after this year. The question is, will they do it in season? To me, that's the number one question. They don't do in season stuff, and this looks like a year where it's pretty much already over.
Yep.
So, will you do it in season? Because you say, like, I need to say something must change.
The revenue part is interesting to point out, because it is weird to me they wouldn't be more desperate to chase that. The team did not make the playoffs in 2022-23. All they did was come close, and the season ticket base was returning. It started coming back, and they didn't even make it that year. They just came close. That's it. They were just in the race. They weren't even in a spot down the stretch in the spring, and fans were returning and filling up the building, and there was energy about it. For a 91-point team. Give me a 96-point team, everybody will come back in an instant. It's crazy to me they don't act in more desperation to go after that.
Yeah, there's definitely like a passivity to what they've done. Like, the three-goalie thing is just the latest. Every couple of years you get a new example of, why aren't you just doing something about this? Bo Byram on the team is a great example of this.
Remember?
We went to this offseason, they're going to trade Byram. They said, like, you know what, instead we'll just sign him for 2 years to money. Like, there's never any real plan. Like Owen kind of said, like, they'll do the easy thing. The hard thing is to trade him, I guess, because they didn't like the value they would get. Why don't you like the value you'd get? Is it because the league doesn't think he's all that good? He's not a true number one, as much as he might want to be? Like, I'm not here to go after Byram specifically, but here's a you should do a thing, and they didn't do the thing. They decided to do something else. And here's three goalies. You probably somewhere along the way should trade for a goalie. Do something. Wave UPL. Wave him. What's going to happen?
Probably nothing.
Not going to get claimed. Going to go to Rochester. Your three-goalie situation is solved. Is it not solved?
I would bet Edmonton claimed him.
Good.
If they did.
Sounds, actually, isn't that a great idea?
It's great. I mean,
claim him.
Anything's a great idea. Right. Anything's a great idea at this point with them, because not one of them has played well enough to earn that they have to keep him. Lyon's been in the doghouse since he had his great start. Lukanen is Lukanen. We all know what that is. And Ellis, do we think we're getting
games
out of that kid? I don't think he's ready. And what are you going to do?
Well, even if he is ready, if you think he is something that is worth developing into a consistent NHL-level goaltender, the environment you have presently set up for him is not the way to get it out of him.
You're butchering him if you are trying to really make him into something, or you're just holding on to him because you're scared Lukanen's going to blow a hip out again. Right. And that's because you're scared to do something more significant. It's all so... It all comes down from the top.
All right, it's the GM, right.
It all comes down from the top. And it's bled into the play. That's what the rant was the other day for me. Like, the only reason I got that hot was because I felt like the players are finding excuses for themselves, because that's what the guy at the top of the organization does.
Yeah, it's a little over. I saw it was about a year anniversary since the palm trees press conference.
Yeah, and like that is it.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is that nobody can just say, we're not good enough, we need to fix this and do something about it. Some of them will say it. Nothing ever changes. Nobody ever does anything. The GM's still there. The GM hasn't traded really anybody significant in a while here. Paterka, great, but he didn't want to be here. You had to do that. It's all because everybody can just do whatever they need to do and get through it. Because that's where everybody's at.
803-0550. 1-888-552-550.
Last in the East. Gavin McKenna.
Gavin McKenna.
Should I start looking up what he's doing, like, on a weekly basis?
He's kind of getting knocked off that top spot. There's a big defenseman playing college.
Oh, perfect.
The 7-footer?
Yeah, not the 7-footer.
There's a 7-foot defenseman floating around college hockey right now.
The Sabres win the lottery and take a defenseman with the number one pick, like, I'm just going to sleep. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, that would be
like just
if they,
get,
even if they win it and
get out of here with this.
Oh.
Not listening.
They have to take McKenna if they win it, because McKenna is a witch, and he is struggling, but we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, college hockey is just a different animal, and he's not built for it right now, and he's young, but he's a witch. And you need that way more than you need another giant defenseman.
4 months to go in the season. 5 months, actually, really.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
What do you make of the Kachucks in? They're going no matter what. And Bill Daly said, if it's not safe, we're not going.
Bro, for starters, my sound system was overwhelmed by the Martin Biron show because it's not Sabres Live. It's the Martin Biron show. But to give you a serious answer, it's what you would expect of a league, because if you're the NHL, like any league, frankly, any business, you want to make sure that the thing that you can market the most, being your teams and your players, you're going to be able to do that after the Olympics. So yes, you want to make sure everything is safe, because if it isn't, someone gets hurt, then you have owners pointing fingers, GMs pointing fingers, players pointing fingers, and it becomes a player safety issue. But if you are the Kachucks, your dad has told you about what it is like playing in these sorts of tournaments, whether it be the Olympics or the World Cup, and that generation of player like a Keith Kachuk, like an Eddie Olczyk, whether they're still in the game as commentators or they have kids who are in the game as players or commentators, whatever the case might be, they grow up hearing these stories about why this stuff mattered. For guys who are in the league now, they all remember watching Vancouver 2010. They remember watching Sochi and TJ Oshie, but to not have that experience, they don't know when they were going to have it. And now that they know they're going to have it, there are some who probably feel it does not matter the circumstance. They're going to play. They're going to be there.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting to see.
What was your toughest decision when narrowing down Team USA's roster?
Ooh.
It would probably either be the third goalie or the final forwards, just because when it comes to that final forward conversation, Jason Robertson is a fascinating name, because when you think about November 5th, when we did our last projection until the one that came out yesterday, other than Nathan MacKinnon, no one has scored more goals. He's been in the top two in points the entire time. Jason Robertson has been one of the best players in the NHL. But it goes back to this fundamental question of where and how does he fit in the Team USA scheme? Because Team USA is littered with players who they play this responsible two-way game. They can score. They can do all these things. Like the prototypical Team USA player right now would be someone like Jack Eichel. All the talent in the world, defensive player. Realize the market just said this in, but in all seriousness, like he is that kind of guy that they're looking for. Or the Tkachuks. Or someone like Quinn Hughes. Someone who's just very good at everything. And with Jason Robertson, the biggest question, well, there's a couple you face is one, do you think you can trust him in those defensive situations where you need someone to consistently check? And then the second thing is, it is the skating. Yes, it's maybe a little bit more unorthodox in appearance compared to others. It's maybe not the fastest, but it's a fair question to raise because as we saw in the Four Nations, technicality, speed, and skating was everything. It's one of the biggest reasons why we didn't see as much of Adam Fox as people would have thought because Adam Fox thinks the game at an exceptionally fast level. But when you look at the pace of play, you need your quickest players available. So that might be the big one. Whereas if you look at goaltending, it's a fascinating discussion. Jeremy Swayman's having a really strong season, going with the belief that Connor Hellebuyck and Jake Oettinger are going to go to the Olympics. But when you look at Spencer Knight, the Blackhawks defense, because it is so young and the structure is so new, they are in the top or bottom three, depending on how you look at it, in terms of allowing the most shots per 60, most shot attempts per 60, scoring chances per 60, and high danger chances per 60, and yet his save percentage is one of the best in the NHL. So those will probably be two of the harder decisions to make.
Well, I think you nailed the goaltending. And obviously, yeah, Spencer Knight is a guy that maybe will have a spot on a future Olympic team for Team USA. But, you know, you also have Tage Thompson in the group of forward, but don't have a Buffalo own Patrick Kane in there. Like there's Alex DeBrincat is not in there. Like how hard is it to compare or try to put yourself in Bill Guerin's shoes to be able to make those decisions?
Well, the thing is you're trying to look at it in that exact way. If you were Bill Guerin or part of the selection committee, what do you look for? And when you look at the profile of that team, you want players who are defensively responsible. You want players that you know can do a lot of different things. You know you want them to score. But for those last few forward roles, you're looking at someone who either fits what you do or if they don't, what is that extra thing that they can provide that's different? So, for example, let's take Tage Thompson. Tage Thompson is someone who, yes, the numbers lately maybe not be what you wanted or what they were earlier in the season, but he gives you 6'6", 220. He gives you size on the edge. If you need him to use him down the middle, you absolutely could. But more importantly, like he gives you that something extra. Now you compare that to like an Alex DeBrincat. Yes, you're talking about a difference in size, but there's a difference in speed. Thompson's a productive player, but as we've seen, when Alex DeBrincat really gets productive, he's about as dangerous as anyone as you're going to find in this league. And so it's really just about if you're Bill Guerin or anyone on that staff looking at who do you think, if first of all, there's an injury, you feel comfortable with them coming into the lineup as close to a like-for-like as you can get. But second, if you bring them in and it's maybe not a like-for-like in one area, do you have an advantage or maybe an emphasis elsewhere that you didn't have before?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Dufford, you're not you're on mute.
You have Thompson more solidly in the group, period, even though you have him listed as an extra. So has he risen in your mind in the last month?
Who that being, Tage Thompson?
Yeah.
So he, this is the thing is he's very much in that conversation. It's just, it's a matter of, I think, evaluating what do you value? And with him, with being 6'6", 220, giving you size on the team that like, yes, for every Tkachuk brother that exists, you do have those players like a Jack Hughes. Like Vincent Trocheck is a physical player, but he's not that physically imposing sort of like just in terms of his stature, he's very different than someone like a Tage Thompson. And especially when you look on the back end, because as sure we'll get into Canada, yes, Canada loses Alex Pietrangelo, but it has five or six defensemen that are 6'2" and taller who do a variety of different things. Like Shea Theodore plays a very different style than someone like Travis Sanheim, who plays a very different style than someone like Colt Parayko. But the point is, you're talking 6'2", what, 6'4", 6'6". Like, that's a lot of size right there. And by having someone like a Tage Thompson, it helps you sort of counteract that. And also they're able to fend off some of those smaller players or being able to challenge and protect the puck from larger players. So with someone like him, that's what stands out. You know he can score. But again, it's just a matter of, do you think that's the right fit, especially if you're looking for someone who maybe you think is a better two-way option?
Now, to see all the rosters, because you not only put together USA, you put Canada, Sweden, Finland, and Czechia together. It's on ESPN.com. Just do a quick search, Ryan S. Clark, ESPN. You'll see them. So you said Team Canada. I think you nailed it with Celebrini and Bedard. I would have them in my group with Team Canada. But that means you got to put some guys on the side. You left off Wyatt Johnston and Seth Jarvis. Explain yourself.
Sure. So it goes back to that philosophy of what do you have in your lineup that fits within your system, but what do you have that maybe brings someone different? So the conversation around Macklin Celebrini has been defensively, he's as good as it gets. We talk about the points, but there are people in this league who say there needs to be a greater discussion about how good Macklin Celebrini is, and there are veterans who feel the exact same way. So he gives you that two-way element that someone like a Jarvis would. Now, yes, Jarvis is a natural winger. Celebrini, you would hypothetically be pushing out to the wing, but at the same time, look at how many players on Canada's roster fit that dynamic, because Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon are going to be playing on the wing. Mark Scheifele is probably going to be playing on the wing, but it's something that they can do. Now, when you turn the attention to Wyatt Johnston versus, let's say, Connor Bedard, to put it in that framework, Wyatt Johnston has been as dangerous as can be, as we've talked about with Jason Robertson. It's just that when you look at the season that Connor Bedard is having, I haven't looked at it lately, but at one point he was on pace to have the most points of a Blackhawk player in franchise history not named Dennis Savard. But more importantly, he knows what it means to consistently handle the demands of being a number one center in the NHL. Wyatt Johnston has top six experience, no question. There are times where he can fill in as that top line center in Dallas, but when everyone is healthy, you know the option is going to be Roope Hintz, because Roope Hintz is all around as good as it gets. So with Connor Bedard, you're looking at someone who not only understands what it means to be that number one, but he gives you something extra in that he's not only a scorer, he's a dangerous scorer. He's a technically gifted skater. He can operate in those tight spaces. And those are the sorts of players that, as we saw in the Four Nations, can really make a difference. Because even when we look at how the U.S. did and we talk about this and that selection decisions, people still question, was leaving Kyle Connor out of the lineup the best idea in a game where you needed goals? And if you can find those players who can score goals, why not bring them? And with someone like Connor Bedard, he would answer that need if you feel that's a priority.
I have so many questions I'd like to ask you, but we are going to be short for time. So one last one. You have one of the lumber yards as a goalie for Team Canada, but it's not Mackenzie Blackwood. It's Scott Wedgwood. Do you feel like there's been too much thought into the third goalie for Team Canada? Because if they get there, they're in big trouble.
There's been a lot of thought into it, but you understand why. Because the way things have gone for Jordan Binnington, it's maybe he gets the benefit of the doubt because he has a history of winning in big games. But also you look at the season, and what's really jarring is through the first quarter of the year, the Blues are actually one of the stronger defensive teams in the league. Yeah. But the disconnect was with their goaltending. So how is that going to work once you get to the Olympics? And so as you know better than anyone, and we all think about 2010, Martin Brodeur is one of the greatest, and for some people, the greatest goalie who ever lived. But when they changed to Roberto Luongo in 2010, that changed everything for Canada. And a lot of people felt that's what won Canada that tournament. So it makes sense that you're looking at who are the second and third options. So yes, on one hand, is it a discussion maybe ad nauseum because it's December and this is a fascinating thing to talk about? Absolutely. But at the same time, it's a fair question, because what happens if you need to deviate away from Jordan Binnington? Who do you feel comfortable with? Is it Logan Thompson? Is it Scott Wedgwood? Is it Mackenzie Blackwood? Is it someone else? But also, and yes, we're saying this too, but for a nation that's never really had questions about goaltending, this is the first in a long time where we've sat there and looked at Canada and wondered, what is the plan in net, which is definitely a deviation from what everyone's used to saying.
If not the U.S. or Canada, who wins the tournament?
Sweden. No, the United States.
Okay.
Just for the goaltending, the United States. Because all the nations that are eligible, the United States, of all the nations that are eligible, if you read between the lines, might have the best goaltending.
Ryan, what does your shirt say? Lille, it's like read the little. Oh, I thought it was French.
No. Gino's Pizza. So it's the pizza place from Home Alone where the kid who delivers the pizza goes in and he walks and he hears angels with filthy souls and the guy who tells him, I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly yellow no good keister off my property before I clump your guts full of lead. So
keep the change.
Exactly.
Ryan, thank you for your insight as always. This was great.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me.
Ryan S. Clark from ESPN.
I got to ask Paul Hamilton, though. Paul, you got a way to you got a story about Bills Patriots that can make you go, God, I can't stand New England?
Well, when I grew up, it was Miami, not necessarily New England.
Yes, that's right.
The two best New England stories would have been when Sam Adams was running down the field.
Yep.
And they that one, and there was another one, a Hail Mary to Roland Hooks.
Yes, a caller did mention that one, 1981.
So those are the two that I would pretty much remember. Plus, you know, games where it looked like the Bills were going to win, and then Leotis McKelvin's are fumbling kickoffs, and you know, that type of thing.
The
so
good old trauma.
Yeah. So for me, I guess it was more Miami. Yes. Not anymore. I mean, that's not a. I mean, there was a time when Ralph Wilson was alive, they were trying to realign the divisions, and Buffalo would have wound up with Cleveland and Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't want to lose the Miami rivalry, and I said to myself, what rivalry? It was over by then, still is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a rivalry anymore, and, you know, so it's, I think if they could have gotten in it, like taken the Bengals' place and been in there with Cleveland and Pittsburgh, I can just imagine what that would have turned into by now. You know, because anytime the Steelers are here, you get Steeler fans here, or, you know, or Browns fans here. And yep. Same thing when they go there. And I think that really would have turned into a huge rivalry.
That would have turned into a huge rivalry. Paul, you and I are about to have a huge rivalry if Iowa State bullies Purdue like that again on the basketball court. So,
you a Purdue fan?
Yes, I am. And unfortunately so. So
I was told, why am I so happy? Because Purdue is way overrated. That's what I was told.
All right.
I don't know.
Let's get to business, Hamilton. All right. So Sabres win last night, and it definitely caused a lot of panic, though, all the way up until the final seconds of regulation. They have a three-goal lead. They lose said three-goal lead in the third period, Paul, but they do ultimately get their first road win of this trip.
Yeah, and they still stayed focused. I mean, they're still – I understand what happened in the third period, but there were still some things to – I mean, Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid. And that goal at 10 seconds in, he's scoring on any team on that. He just he got the Jets going and goes in that he's going to score. And that's what happened. Unfortunately, on the third goal, the goalie – now, I thought that's not goaltender interference because I thought Lyon was in front of the crease. But still, he's not going to get over there. The puck pops out. And sure enough, wouldn't you know, it pops right out to Connor McDavid. Yeah, it's like, really? There's an open net, and the puck comes to him. Great. You know, type of a thing. So, but don't forget, too, the Oilers came in the number one power play in the NHL, well over 30%. And Buffalo took two third-period penalties, killed them both, you know, and didn't give up a goal there. I thought, you know, held off that Edmonton power play that was 0-4. So, and they stuck with it too, despite the goal by McDavid. It's like, okay, you know, and that's one thing I've always said about them. It's like sometimes they get hung up on, oh, what a bad play. Next thing you know, the three goals are in, you know, and they didn't do that when Edmonton tied the game. It's okay, let's go right off the face off of overtime. Tuck, I think it was more important than the end was the beginning when he went into the zone, forechecked hard, won the battle, and got Buffalo possession of the puck. And then Buffalo, you know, 33 seconds later, winds up putting it in the net. And I'm sure Ryan McLeod didn't mind setting up Tuck for the play against his old team. It was a nice pass, and Tuck puts it away. So, you know, they didn't sit there and feel sorry for themselves. And there are a lot of things. They went through a lot of adversity in that game, starting right before the opening faceoff.
Mm-hmm.
You already know you've lost Zucker, which is a huge loss. And now after warm-up, you lose Norris, which you were expecting him to play. So now you've lost your best centerman. And then 19 minutes into the game, you've lost your goaltender. And they shook it all off. You know, they didn't let any of that pull them down. And then Thompson scores a goal, and it's disallowed.
Yeah.
So what does he do? Goes out and scores another goal. He didn't sit there and pout about it. It's the second night in a row he lost a goal to a challenge. But he went out and got another one. I'm like, okay, good job. You know, you didn't sit there and pout over it. Whether you like the call, don't like the call, or whatever, you got to move on. I mean, you can't say, well, I hated that call and dwell on it for the next 20 minutes. Hate the call and go score a goal. And that's what he did. And then they got another power play goal before the period was over. So all these things are starting to add up. But yet, you know, they're just keep going. They just keep going. They just keep going. And they didn't let it pull them down to a point where they couldn't overcome it. Plus, they were in a back-to-back situation also, which may be why they might have worn down a little bit in the third period. But they certainly had energy in that overtime, you know, to be able to win the game. It doesn't matter if you give the Western Conference team a point. Who cares?
Right.
If it's a team that's right under you or over you over the standings, then it's not a good thing. But you gave a Western Conference team a point. It doesn't matter. If you walk away with two, that's all that matters. And I think they overcame a lot. I think they played a good game. I thought they were tough around the net. There were a lot of things to like. But you know what it gets back to? A fan now sits there and gets – it's like they're pulling their hair out. It's like, why can't – if you're a fan, you're saying to yourself, why can't I see that more often?
Right.
Why is that few and far between where you can't even get a three-game winning streak going? I mean, they haven't won three games in a row yet this year. And if they played like that a majority of the time, they'd be in the middle of the playoff race. They'd be right in the thick of things, even with the injuries. You know, they show you that they can do that from time to time, including the 5-1 win over Edmonton in Buffalo. And what did they have? A couple of games this year where they popped in, what, 7, 8, 9 goals,
mm-hmm.
you know, and dominated. So you know it's there if you're a fan. But it's like why am I watching a team in last place in the conference, almost in last place in the NHL, when I know they're capable of playing like that? Well, their best players showed up. I mean, when their best players show up, they have – anytime those guys play and contribute like they did – the Sabres have an excellent chance of winning hockey games. But Thompson goes 6 in a row where he has 1 point. Now he's back scoring again. You know, and it's just like you can't have your best players go away for 6 games. And not just Thompson. I don't want to be just picking on him, whether it's Tuck, whether it's Dahlin, no matter, you know, those are your best players. And the most nights, they have to be your best players. Most nights, Draisaitl and McDavid are Edmonton's best players. We can go through all the best players throughout the league, the top-notch players, Colorado, Makar, MacKinnon. They are the best players night in and night out. And Buffalo's players are not their best players night in and night out. And that's a huge problem. But I understand where fans are coming from, where you enjoyed the game and you say, nice job. That's a gutty win. But you say to yourself, why don't I see that more often?
Yeah, it's tough, Paul, and it shows just the degree of inconsistency that this group in particular does have. But last night, like you said, there were a lot of things that you can take away from this that are positive here. Josh Doan is looking to become very solidified as probably their more reliable set of secondary scoring with this club, and especially with what he's been able to do with this power play. As inconsistent as the power play has been, typically it's the likes of Doan and Zucker that have been the ones that have helped try to stabilize it.
And why is that? Because they're around the net.
They're getting to the net.
They're around that. What? How did Doan score two goals last night? Because he's right at the net. You know, and when you're at the net, good things are going to happen. He's on a 27-goal pace right now. And there are a lot of people are like Buffalo. Part of the reason I think some people were criticizing the Peterka trade is they just didn't know who the Sabres got back, because Utah is not a team you see a lot on national TV. Or,
right.
So they're like, well, who's Michael Kesselring? Well, I saw Michael Kesselring play for Team USA with Tage Thompson for 10 games and was one of their better defensemen. I really, really liked what I saw in that game and, you know, what I'd seen in the NHL. Now, unfortunately, he's had two injuries that have and you know, really hadn't gotten to his game at all in the 9 games that he played. But and then Josh Doan. And people are like, well, that's a throw-in. No, it's not. And Kevin Adams said that, you know, he was essential for that trade to be made to be in it. And then Utah's GM confirmed it, said we weren't going to do it. And Kevin Adams said, okay, no trade. And that was the end of it. And he goes, we had to decide, do we want J.J. Peterka bad enough to put Josh Doan into the trade? And they decided that finally they did. They called Kevin Adams back and they made the deal. But Kevin Adams was not going to make the deal without Josh Doan. So he was not a throw-in. And Adams said when they traded for him that they feel there's an offensive upside there. And don't forget, he scored 26 or 27 goals playing in the American Hockey League. So he was able to score at that level. He's only had coming here. He'd only had 1 year in the NHL and got better in the second half of the year. So they were hoping to see an upswing, just like McLeod. Last year, getting up to 20 goals when he never had even been close. Now he's not close this year. He's kind of fallen back a little bit. But the season's not even half over yet, and there's plenty of time to get going. But, you know, so Doan was an important part of that trade that the Sabres really wanted, or there was not going to be a trade.
Yeah, that it is looking important as a piece right now, and it looks very justifiable too, especially because, like, I would imagine Josh Doan doesn't like a lot of player comps to his father, but you mentioned Doan's on pace for 27 goals. That's pretty much where Shane Doan made his name pretty noteworthy through a long 21-year NHL career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a very consistent player, hard to play against. And is Mr. Coyote, or you might say. I mean,
yeah.
he's the number one Arizona Coyote. Had a long career there, was beloved, and, you know, is kind of the face of what that franchise was before they left.
All right, Paul, little encouraging news. One last thing here before you go. Norris does miss the game, but it does look like it was just illness and soreness. So I'd imagine there will be at least a decent turnaround. If he has to miss one more game, it's only one more game. But it doesn't look like it's anything like an injury scare.
Yeah, you just hope that it's not what he didn't catch what Zucker had.
Right.
And, oh, God. You know, turn into a two-week thing where, you know, you don't even get off the couch. So you hopefully, you know, he's feeling better. And who knows if you'll see him against Vancouver or Seattle.
All right, Paul. Well, I'm sure we'll do this again. The Sabres playing against Vancouver on Thursday night, and their climb to try to get out of the bottom of the Eastern Conference is going to continue.
Yeah, we'll see. First of all, we'll see if they can ever get to 3 consecutive wins.
Well, it takes. Here's a good number two step to do so. In order to get to 3 games, Paul, you have to win the second one, and hopefully they can do that tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, we'll give it a shot.
We'll give it a shot, and we'll be here to talk about it, Paul. Thanks for joining us here.
No problem. Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the Westshore Hotline.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Here's a theory. Last time I had a conspiracy theory, it was how the Bills really, really wanted to get a receiver at the deadline and didn't. I thought it was Brian Thomas Jr., ended up being Jalen Waddle. I was, you know, connecting dots. Can I connect a couple dots here for everybody?
Please.
Okay. And again, like, I don't have a report, but I think that from what I'm hearing over here and over here and over here, I think we are close to the Sabres making a big change. And I think they're, if you say, like, why would they do it? They never make changes. That's something I would say. Why would they do this? They never make big changes, especially in season. And if they are going to change their GM because they're, again, at the bottom and bad and consistently lacking for motivation and players and blah, 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 blah. Like, what's different this time? And I would offer up a theory that Lindy makes things different. And here's how. So I think that if you are going to work for, as in management of the Bills or the Sabres, a GM or a coach, you have to have a relationship with the owner that the owner trusts you.
Yeah.
Right? That's a big part of why when people talk about McDermott and Bean, you know, hey, if they miss the playoffs, could they get fired? If they lose again, could they? Like, it's different. It's different. I think it's important to have a good relationship with the owner. He wants people he can trust and he can count and he can go to. And, you know, if I owned a sports team, I might feel the same way. I wouldn't want to just turn the keys over to someone that never talks to me. So anyway, Kevin Adams has been in the job for a long time.
Long, too long.
He got obviously the job because he was someone they knew and they trusted, right? They didn't like Bottrell. It went poorly. And even afterwards, it was like, hey, the process that found GMs, we didn't like that. So we just picked a guy that we like. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. So when Lindy comes back as the head coach and Kevin Adams reaches out and gets Lindy, the Sabres are able to get Lindy in part because Lindy has ties here. Lindy cares about the market. He cares about, I mean, lives here. He cares about the franchise. He's, you know, he's a Rafters kind of guy. And if there's anybody that could, you know, talk to the owner and say, listen, the GM is not going to, it's not getting it done. And like, you got to do something here. You've got to do something about the GM. And that might not resonate with the owner unless it's someone that he trusts. And Lindy would have been a player, a person that he already did trust, right? Lindy was here when the Pegulas bought the team. And the idea of like firing coaches, like that was difficult to do. That seemed like no way. And they fired Lindy and it was an emotional time and it was tough. And he went on and he had success. And Lindy Ruff has worked for other GMs and other organizations. To me, when they brought Lindy back, the best selling point about it was He's succeeded not only here, but Dallas and a limited amount in New Jersey. He's got credibility. Now he comes back home. He sees the operation, and he says, all right, if you want to have an honest conversation, you want my honest opinion of this, you know what I think about all this? I think that this is not a good situation. I think you might want to do something about what is going on here.
And it sounded like that he had gotten to the tipping point talking about the goaltender situation and how it's not ideal. And the Osland, like I felt like that might have been the moment where he felt he needed to get in front of the media and make it known.
Maybe. Oh, sure. Or maybe like, hey, I'm going to say something in such a way that I'm going to make it clear that I don't really think what's going on here is being done well. Like, again, we're kind of inferring here or implying or guessing. You want to say guessing, that's fine. But to me, it would make sense. Like, before Kevin Adams, it's Bottrell who, you know,
yep,
it went poorly. Kruger, his first coach is Kruger. Then they go out and they hire Granato, who's in the building. And again, like, they trust Granato. They yep. like Granato. Lindy is the one. Lindy is the one that might make a difference and say, he's been out there. He's like the consultant that's been around and worked for GMs and seen other teams and would be able to go into a room and say, yeah, what we've got here is not a good, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And if, you know, I know it's a hard conversation, you might not want to hear it, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And I just feel like his opinion could resonate. So for me to get to, why would they make a change when they never do this? How is this season any different than any other? There's always a breaking point. There's always going to be a time where it's just like things have gone in such a way that we just cannot not make a change. Fire Adams, a sell the team chant at the game at the whole last home game.
Yeah.
A sell the team chant. Like these are moments where it becomes okay.
It's just untenable.
Sure. So if they came back from a road trip and they're home on Thursday next week against the Flyers and they're down 1-0 in the first, am I getting sell the team chants? Like I can't live like that. From all sides of the story, the Sabres are getting more people back in the building. Maybe they're kind of, you know, finding ways to get people back in the building. The building has been a little bit...
It's been better.
Well, sure. And I'm not... If I use the phrase suspiciously full, that sounds like I think it's shady.
Sure.
But they're finding ways to get people in the building. And that means if it's not a season ticket holder, if it's a person that's found their way to tickets and you've got fans that are maybe more likely to express displeasure...
Get after it.
Yes. So... Like maybe by the next home game, there's a big change because a sell the team chant and a fire Adams chant now becoming somewhat routine. Like, all right, we've reached the point where it's no longer tenable. And the team leaves for about a week and a half. We can try and, you know, have a couple meetings. There's no home games. Let's iron things out. What do we want to do? And then, of course, it becomes what is the next phase? Is it just Jarmo Kekalainen becomes your GM? Is Lindy still your coach? I mean, Lindy's not your coach next year. I think we all know that.
I would agree with that.
So does that mean he's in a different role? Does that mean he's elevated and he's in a managerial position? I don't know. I don't know anything in terms of like what the future holds. But I think there's going to be a change before the next home game. So there's my theory.
And it will have been warranted, obviously.
Oh, more than
obviously.
Of course,
yeah, this feels like a move that should have been made 3 seasons ago.
Sure, so. Would have been easily defendable 3 seasons ago.
Yes.
So, there you go. There's the theory.
Here's the other thing. So, I was listening to you and Joe talk about this. Maybe it was Monday, maybe it was like late last week. But like, the move needs to be done so that people know that change is capable of happening, and any change for the sake of change for this team right now is a net positive regardless. But does it feel like I'm asking a lot if, you know, the obvious move is Jarmo's going to general manager and now he's there? Like, are the obvious things going to happen now? Like, has this just all been so bottlenecked by a general manager who is paralyzed and cannot make decisions, any decisions whatsoever? Do those decisions now just get made? Like, do they get rid of a goalie? Do they trade people? Do they get rid of people? Like, I don't know. I guess I'm maybe holding my breath that, like, the really obvious things that everybody has just been saying are just obvious things will happen. But I think it's at least a start.
Yeah. The thing about Kekalainen as an idea, if that is ultimately, like who makes the calls?
Yeah.
he doesn't live here yet. He's allowed to work remotely.
Yeah.
So you're
going to have to live here.
Yeah, you have to. Now you live here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the plan. Is Eric Staal? What? Oh, like they hired some people to be senior advisors, assistants. Like they added a little bit to the front office to try and guide this whole thing. And of course, it's still in the wrong spot. So they play Vancouver tonight. The only thing that throws a wrench in this, like, what if they beat Vancouver and they beat Seattle and they come home and they've won three in a row? Like, could that undo it?
If it does, then
of course you'd like to think no. Of course that won't undo your organizational plans. If in fact you plan to make a move, but you know, coaches have been fired after wins, and GMs have been fired after wins.
Like, Paul made a point yesterday with me before you got here, where it was like, don't let one game. He was talking about Edmonton, but this applies for tonight and however many games that he lasts. Don't let a successful night.
Don't be a prisoner of the moment.
Reality of your situation.
A prisoner of the moment.
You cannot. Yep. Think that things are going to change.
Right.
It's been too long. It's been too much. You know what it is. A win doesn't change it. You play 82 games, you're going to look good some nights.
Right. And really what they struggle for and what they have to find a way back to is something that they've flirted with, like organizational league credibility.
Right.
And they don't have a lot of it right now.
No.
They don't have a lot of it right now.
And
I don't know what hire would get them that. Like, if Brandon Shanahan called and said, I'll run it, I feel like you should say yes.
Yeah, immediately.
Absolutely you should.
Yes.
But even
if it's not
honestly,
him.
I don't think a hire needs to be made to gain credibility. I think a firing
is the first.
Yes,
is the first.
That's
stage.
The first.
That's
Listen,
it.
I'm here to say, like, if it's interim for a while and you hire somebody in the offseason.
Sure.
Listen, this is how the NHL works. If Briere got fired in Philly, I would do it.
100%.
I would hire him.
Yes.
That would help.
100%.
Is it the best idea? I don't know. I keep saying every single time we talk about a former Sabre, the 05-06 reunion is coming up in a couple of weeks. I am 1,000% serious when I say have it be a GM job fair.
Right.
1,000%.
Drury's probably getting fired in New York.
Max Afinogenoff is coming in.
What are you doing, Max?
What do you think?
What are you up to?
The 05-06 reunion is a job fair.
Yeah.
Who wants to work here and get us on track?
Miller.
Everybody loves everybody in this room because of what that team was.
Right.
Ryan Miller, do you want the job? Thomas Vanek, do you want the job?
Or do some of you guys want to come in and just help? Does somebody want to be an advisor?
You might have to give them bigger jobs because they all work. They all currently work for the Sharks.
Right, exactly.
They all work for the Sharks.
But I think if you are able to get rid of the rot in the organization first, and you approach a group of guys that all have incredible memories here, Lindy Ruff's here again.
Yep.
Can you get a band back to? And is this, you know, just an emotional whatever? Maybe, but it could be great because those guys are all smart.
Sure,
Miller is smart.
And
Drury is, like, all of them are smart guys.
And it's not unusual in hockey to hire people that have run your organization before. It's just how it's done.
Exactly.
And in the case of Miller and Vanek, like, they're working in front offices.
Right.
So, or you could hire a GM with experience. I mean, like, whatever. There are so many ideas, and some of them will be bad, and some of them will be better. And I'm not kidding. I think the job fair, the 05-06 job fair is my favorite idea I've had in a while. Tony Ludeman, are you here? Do you want the job?
Right.
Henrik Talinder?
It's crazy. By the way, I think Yarmo's been in town more frequently.
Okay, good.
He's been around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.